that everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash."
Service this morning, and you're probably ready to be done, but not yet. In fact, if you want to just slap your face a little bit, keep yourself awake. We're heading in for a landing here real soon. And there is something to look forward to afterwards, too. So just to remind you, we do have soup and some other things the ladies have put together for us as a thank you, and we are thankful for all that you do as well. Do you always heed warning signs? You know, a couple years after I came here, I'll make a confession. I ran the stop sign over by the school. Got stopped by a police officer that was only here for a few months, and he gave me a ticket. It was at night, and he was a long ways away, and I thought, oh, I can just roll through this thing. I'll be just fine. But you know what? I didn't heed the sign, did I? And I kind of got in trouble. One time, I was in Iron Mountain, Michigan in the winter. And they get lots of snow up there, and not until I got down the road a little ways did I notice the second sign that said one way. I'm going the wrong way, and there's a snowplow coming at me. I didn't heed the sign when I did that. One time I thought, you know what, I'm not going to take two trips to the lumber yard to pick up some lumber for a deck. I'll do it in one with my little snowmobile trailer I had. Supposed to be 12 to 1,500 pounds I could put on there. I've got about a ton and a half. That should be fine. 5 miles down the road, bearing goes on the trailer. I end up having to get another trailer from U-Haul and put the stuff on that and then flip my trailer over and stick it on top of the other trailer. I didn't heed the warning signs like I should. Or the one time I placed the ladder where I shouldn't have on the back of the house. You remember that in Norway? And because I didn't plant the ladder where I should have, I'm hanging with one leg on the ladder and my other hand up here on the edge. It's about 15 foot down. I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? So I'm hollering. Thankfully, wasn't it Matt that heard me? And Lisa, they came out and made sure I was going to be okay. How many times you and I don't listen to our parents when we were kids when they say, don't do it? And we do it anyway. Gets us into trouble. You know, advice is meant to be taken. It really is. When good advice is given, it's meant to be taken. In Matthew 7:24, in the text that was read this morning, it says here, a wise man doesn't just listen to God's words, but puts them into practice. There's two pieces to that, isn't there? One is there's the hearing, and the other is there's the doing what's being told. Sometimes we hear, but we don't do anything about it. Sometimes we don't even listen. But Matthew 7:24 is telling us something here, and I think it's something you and I need to kind of grab a hold of and listen to. How many times have you ever been on either end of a conversation where one is speaking, the other one is waiting to pipe in? I see either end on that because I've been on both ends. Sometimes I want to pipe in and I'm not really listening. How many times have we been in those kind of situations? I think we do it sometimes with God, too. We can't wait to put our 2 cents worth in. Or I hear you, but. And how many times have we done that to even God himself? As I know what you want me to do, God, but I've got something else in mind. In fact, is that not exactly what was going on in 1 Samuel, that text we read this morning, where Samuel had told Saul, you're going to go over here and you're going to have to fight, but I want you to wait 7 days and don't do anything until I show up. Because when I show up, we're going to have a sacrifice and pray to God and ask that God is going to do his bidding with what's going on. And Saul doesn't wait till the 7 days are over. He's getting antsy. And he wants to do his own thing. And what's he do? Oh, he hasn't gotten here yet. We got to go ahead and do it ourselves, folks. So let's go ahead and do it ourselves. So Saul, who wasn't even a priest, is going ahead and doing all this stuff. And he's offering the sacrifice. And then Samuel shows up. He says, Saul, what did I tell you? Well, I know, but. He didn't listen. He didn't do what he was told to do by someone who was sent by God to tell him what to do. And he kind of got in trouble. How well have you and I taken to good advice over the years? I guess that's open to interpretation, isn't it? Foundation. I want to talk about a foundation this morning. You know, our parents, they help build a foundation for us. Sometimes it's been a very good foundation, and unfortunately in some people's lives it's not been a very good foundation. And sometimes we've been blessed to have parents who have tried to establish a good, healthy, strong foundation for us. And sometimes we've been perhaps in situations where that foundation isn't so good. But I think a lot of times maybe they're doing the best they can with what they've got, because they perhaps didn't have much of a foundation when they were growing up. But they helped to build that foundation under us through discipline and love, example, trials, hurts, pains, joys, mistakes, life. Life itself, to try to teach us. I have to admit, maybe at the time, I didn't think my parents knew as much as they do, but through their own experiences, they had a lot to offer, and they usually knew better than I did, how much even more so God Himself knows for us than we do. But how many times you and I may have heard what they said, but we didn't really end up putting it into practice. I want to remind us that even though we may have decent foundations, they'll all crack unless the foundation is the unbreakable foundation. And that is the foundation that's found in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the foundation that's found in Scripture. And if we don't have that foundation, all other foundations, when hit with storms in life, the biggies, they will crack. They will crack. There's the rock. In this text here this morning, there was the rock. Building your house on the rock. The rock being Jesus Christ. The rock being the gospel. The rock being the Word of God. The rock being the godly principles He's laid down for us. The rock being that one who loves us with an agape love. It says, I love you, period. Not I love you if. These are all eternal in nature. Recognize that. The foundation that we have to build upon in Jesus Christ is an eternal foundation. It's not temporal. It's not affected by the storms of life. It remains when the storms come. That rock that's founded right from the beginning in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, where it says He created, all the way to the book of Revelation, where He says He's coming back and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. Right from beginning to end, there lies the foundation for you and I in our lives. We can hear it, but if we don't do anything about it, it has no effect on us. See, this rock, this one who's there for us, He says in this parable itself, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like someone who builds their house on a rock. On the rock. You see, again, there's those two pieces. You can spend your whole life in church. You might hear some stuff. But if you never put it here, if you never make it your own, if you don't do what God calls you to do, it doesn't, and it isn't, the foundation that you've laid the rest of your life on. Because it says in this text, just like it does in the other parallel texts in the Gospels, the storms are going to come. Not if a storm comes, or a storm might come, but storms come, don't they? I imagine all of us could look in our lives and say, oh yeah, I've had some storms in my life. I don't think there's a single person here that couldn't say, I've not had a storm. We have storms in our lives. They come. And you know, those storms in our life, they may do damage to what's above the foundation. I mean, you look at hurricanes and what they do. You've got strong, straight-line winds around here. So we can't relate to a lot of those natural disasters because we live in a God-blessed area. I'm not saying that Florida's blessed, too. But I'm saying, you know, we don't have the hurricanes, do we? We can't relate to that. We don't have the earthquakes. We don't have the tornadoes even up here. Rare kind of thing to have a tornado up here. All we have is snow. And we've had plenty of that over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? And sometimes there might be some damage done to the house, but that's repairable. But it's that foundation that's really, really important. It's really, really important. You see, the rock is your foundation. That rock of Jesus Christ, that is our foundation. And that rock does not crack no matter what happens. You know, we may have to rebuild some of what's on that foundation. You know, sometimes the things we do in our life, they're scars. Right? I mean, you hurt yourself, and you and I can sit down around the tables afterwards and say, yeah, I remember when this scar happened, you know, a while back. Something stupid I did. This one right here was cutting rhubarb with my mom when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I cut some rhubarb, and I cut my thumb, too. You know, we can all talk about the scars in our life, doing things we shouldn't do. One of those things was, don't cut too close to your fingers. Hello, Dave. Sometimes we may have to rebuild some of what was built on the foundation. Sin can damage that. The things we do that we shouldn't have done, the things we don't do that we should have done. Doubt can damage the house. Sometimes you and I live with doubt. We don't need to, because we have a God who's a God of promises. A God who says He'll always be there for us. A God who says He'll never leave us and never forsake us. Sometimes it may not feel that way, but it's a promise you can claim, and it's a promise that He has always kept. Sometimes it's reliance on the other gods, little g, that you and I have in our lives, that we go to instead of Him when life gets tough. He should be our default, shouldn't He? But sometimes we don't go to Him right away with our stuff. We go to something else or someone else. Those all do damage to the house. But what we really need to be fully and completely aware of is that even though the house on top of the foundation might be dinged and damaged, it won't fall if our foundation is in Jesus Christ. It will not fall if our foundation is in Jesus Christ. Remember that, folks. Because, you know, if your house is built on the sand, sometimes it's indistinguishable between someone who's built their house in the sand and someone who's built their house on the rock until a storm comes. Right? We can all act in a certain way and look at life in a certain way, and things might look pretty good on the outside. In fact, we in the church are very good at looking the part. From the church on Sunday morning, I can say amen, and it's okay to say that here. And maybe even I can use the word Jesus in a different context than I might use it out there. You see, here we can look the part. But what do we do when we leave the church on Sunday morning? See, there are many people who try to build a noble house on a foundation that isn't rock. And it may even look pretty good. It seems to be fairly sound. Maybe they are listening to another gospel, not the one that's being taught in the Word of God, and they go their own way with it. Let's just add this and this and this and this to it. And Paul warns us time and time again throughout his letters, don't go for another gospel. There is only one, and Jesus is the answer in that gospel. Or sometimes we just have such a flawed and elementary understanding of God's Word, we're not really sure how to build that foundation. And so it's kind of sandy. Or maybe we have gone for years and years in our life and we haven't dealt with all those dark rooms in our heart that we need to deal with. You know, undealt with sin. You know, those who build their house in the sand may not look any different than those who build their house on the rock until the storm shows up. You know when your witness is powerful? It's not when things are going well. It's not when you have a job and a great retirement. It's not when everybody in your family is healthy and everybody keeps their nose clean, all that sort of stuff. You know when there's a differentiation between a house built on the sand and a house built on the rock? It's when the storms come. And I'll tell you what, that's when people start watching you and me. It's when the storm comes. Then you can tell whether a house was built on the sand or a house was built on the rock. And you know what else is different about this whole thing? A person who builds their house in the sand, people's attention is put on the building. That's me and you. But when a person builds their house on the rock, the attention is put on the unseen, the foundation. And that's Jesus. And that's where it should be. Not on us. Not on that beautiful house we seem to have put on top of that rock. Not that one that says, you know, my family's better than yours. I can't say that because our family has problems just like yours does. See what I'm saying? That's all the stuff above foundation. Make sure your foundation is Jesus Christ. And you build your house on that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And when the storms of life come, you will stand and the foundation won't crack. And you're going to make it. Remember that. Because I think that's a great parable, isn't it? That shares with us a foundational truth. You need the foundation to build everything else in your life upon. Not the flip side. You need the foundation to build on. So let's do that this morning. And let's close this morning with the last hymn. And this is one that certainly is a part of the foundation, isn't it?